Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports head of the Union Tribune. He's with me. Padres, Rockies, four games coming up. Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious. Do I even need to say it, Ryan? They need to get some wins here. Where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with the series that just ended. It's, as you pointed out in today's Padres Daily, in many ways, the Padres are playing better. In many ways, they're pitching better. Certainly, their starting pitching has been excellent, but the results have been the same. And it was 2 of 3 losses to the Cincinnati Reds here during a time where maybe even just taking the series or sweeping would have given the Padres a little bit of breathing room in the wild card race. Strange late game bullpen breakdowns, some interesting pitching change decisions. I think lots to unpack in this series. Kevin, what really jumped out at you?
They lost some close games. Their offense is not good. Manny Machado is, he's tired. Baseball is a funny game where any one of those things being different, Manny Machado gets a couple key hits. That's it. Padres sweep this series, right? Now, that's not to put it all on Manny, right? Like, there's other factors. But just saying, like, there's a reason that he's the $30 million man. And look, he's tired. He needs a break. They need to clinch. They need to get him some rest going into the playoffs. I didn't have any problems with what Mike Schilt did in the bullpen. We could talk about that. That doesn't mean I'm correct or Mike Schilt is correct. But he explained the things that he did. There are limitations to what human beings can do. They're down Jason Adam. They're playing a bunch of close games. Now, could you argue that Mike Schilt shouldn't chase as many victories as he did? Sure, you can argue that. They also have 79 wins and are in position to be in the playoffs. So, but that doesn't mean that maybe there shouldn't be some changes in the order or in, when Mason Miller pitches, whatever. But I didn't have a single issue with what he did with the bullpen.
Yeah, the Padres sell out to win Tuesday night's game. I mean, as a result, they're shorthanded Wednesday. They go to Kyle Hart. I feel bad for Kyle Hart. Kyle Hart didn't do a whole lot wrong yesterday. He allowed a dribbler that he gamely tried to bounce to first base. The guy beats it. They go lift Kyle Hart. Then bad things happen from that point. But, I think the question that's on a lot of Padres fans' minds, and Kevin, maybe you can walk through this process a little bit, is if Mason Miller's striking out two guys every inning, and if Robert Suarez, and again, this is recency bias, if Robert Suarez has given up game-losing home runs, why not swap those two guys in the order? Is that something they've given any thought to at this point? Is this something that could happen in the playoffs? Or are they pretty happy with the formula they have?
Yeah, they've given thought to it. Also, Mason Miller took down the top two batters in the order, right? The guy who's killed you, and was it Marte? Because I think Ellie De La Cruz was batting third. That I didn't put that in the category of decisions. Because it's Robert Suarez is your closer, man. And Mason Miller, like I said, in the game that we're talking about, took down the top two guys in the order. And I'm confused. So Robert Suarez wouldn't give up that home run in the eighth inning? Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we are always squawking about what didn't work. All right. And I'm the guy who asks questions of Mike Schilt. So that's not to say that I'm going to defend him or always defending him, but like, I will push back on, well, this didn't work, so that would have worked. Oh, right. Okay. In that world, you're right. Mike Schilt's an idiot. Like, I mean, that's not the real world. So should Mason Miller be the closer? I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah, probably should. Okay. It's been a while since you felt really, really good about Robert Suarez going into a game. But the idea that would alter things or whatever, definitely is something I will push back on. The fact is, the answer I could have just given is, I do think it's a fluid situation, and that if the 1-2-3 or the 2-3-4 hitters are coming up in the eighth, Mason Miller is going to pitch the eighth.
Right. That makes sense. And by the way, a reminder, Jason Adam hurt, done for the year, not pitching in the playoffs, with every game mattering. The solution is not sitting Robert Suarez. Robert Suarez still has to go to the post every dang day, it seems like, right? It's either putting him in a situation where maybe he's not giving up home runs late, or rather just getting better performance out of a guy who's been pretty good at times, but when he implodes somewhat spectacularly, I think.
Like every closer. You know why?
Yes.
because a sixth inning home run somehow doesn't count as much as a ninth inning home run. Like every closer that implodes spectacularly. Look, I mean, I think I've brought up before the idea of, you know, Robert Suarez not closing or all that. I'm not pushing back on that. The idea that, like, you know, making that change when Manny Machado's batting 199 since August 1st. Mm-hmm. End of podcast. I'll talk to you later. sorry.
Can we get back into the weeds here?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's talk more about Manny. And again, you know, it's easy to get distracted by the bright and shiny objects, by the new guys, right? The people who have been here a month and we don't know. But Kevin, we've been saying now, this is the end of season three of you and I doing this podcast together. The Padres will only go as far as their superstars take them. And Manny Machado is the superest of all of their superstars. What is up with Manny Machado? Is it easy to quantify? Is he just worn down? Is there any thought that this might turn at any point? Are there any hints that anything is possibly turning?
There's no hints other than that the name on the back of his jersey. And here's a guy who, not for this extended period, the real hallmark of his career is he doesn't allow things to get to this point. And that's where I think that people, you know, that really know are saying that he's tired, is that he's hasn't been able to correct this when corrections are like, that's what Manny Machado does. The way he talks about it is not letting a 0 for 10 become an 0 for 20. And you know, whatever, he's 2 for 25 his last 5-6 games. Go back to August 1st, he's batting under 200 with like under 300 batting average, a 5-something OPS. It's bad. There's no signs that he's pulling out of it. As a matter of fact, it's getting worse. Mm-hmm. That said, it's Manny Machado, and when he pulls out, he pulls out, and he pulls out big, generally speaking. Is that going to happen without a couple days off, without 3-4 days off? You know, I don't know. We haven't been here before. This is Manny's time of year. This is when he shines. I pointed out today that there's been some built-in rest for the last 5 years, starting with 2020 when there were only 60 games. But there were built-in rest based on injuries and based on them being careful with him. And this year, it was important to Manny to play. And by the way, you know, we can say, hey, the Padres could have made him sit. Well, you know, there are certain players that get deference. And when they're batting 300 with an 8-something OPS, they get even more deference. So hindsight being what it is, yes, Manny Machado even says he should have rested. But here we are. They got to find a way to get Manny producing again and doing that going into the postseason.
And the problem here is your shortstop is injured, right? There's no... If Xander Bogaerts was playing every day, maybe you could say, hey, you know what? We're just going to give Jose Iglesias the weekend at third, right? Or we're going to, you know, see what else we can do there. The problem is, so long as the Padres are starting Jose Iglesias or in some cases Mason Miller at shortstop, there's not a ready-made option at third base.
I mean, right. I know you love Mason Miller, but Mason McCoy, but yes.
Yes, Mason McCoy. Too many Masons on this team.
Can you imagine those throws from shortstop? Wow.
Little crow hop, hard throw. But yeah, Mason McCoy at shortstop. I mean, the problem is there's nobody riding to the rescue here at third base either. And so Manny's in this weird position where he kind of I'm sure he wants to keep playing, but he kind of has to wear it because there's not somebody who you can go to, especially in a game that, my goodness, we're talking about a 4-game series with the Rockies here, and every night feels like a must win here for a team that's fighting for its playoff life.
You're right on. I would counter... as I agree with you, I would counter us by saying the Manny Machado who's been in there the last, this series, is that any better than is Jose Iglesias? Now, every time he goes up, you go, Manny Machado can run into one. That's still mm-hmm. Manny Machado. Mm-hmm. But the evidence is the evidence, and he's dragging right now.
Yeah, he is dragging. Kevin, you mentioned rest. Is rest as simple as a weekend off? Is it as simple as a weekend of just DHing? Or if you're struggling like he has, he's only focusing on your hitting, sort of the not improving matters. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, the DH thing I think has passed. As in, he was getting regular DH days, and that was a nice, you know, maintenance. You know, we thought, and okay, great. I think it's more getting away. Like where, and when Mike Schilt commits to giving a guy a day off. It's a day off, man. I suppose if you went 13 innings and really tested Mike and you needed a pinch hitter, then maybe he'd use that guy. But there have been lots of times where, nope, Mike Schilt told that guy he was going to get the day off. He is off, like not even wearing the uni, basically. Right. Got the uni pants on. He's in the dugout. That's about, you know, he's not playing that day. And that's what Manny Machado needs right now.
Right. Can we talk about a couple injury and injury adjacent topics here? Number one, Michael King returned to the starting rotation. I thought he looked pretty good. You know, gave up a home run early. But to me, this was the Michael King we saw in April and May, more or less. What do you think, Gavin?
Yeah, absolutely. Two bombs and then all one that was brought back by Tatis on three bad pitches. I'm not saying those are the only mislocated pitches Michael King had, but pretty darn close. Guy, you could see him making adjustments. You could see him fixing mechanical things. You could, you know, that was Michael King out there. And I think that is the best you could hope for, a guy who hasn't pitched basically for 4 months. He did make that start August 9th against the Red Sox, went two innings, had the knee issues, mechanics were all messed up because of it. So basically his first start in 4 months, to go five innings, give up two bombs and basically nothing else, like that was fantastic.
Right. I think that's one of the reasons why losing two or three to the Reds the way they did it feels less catastrophic than maybe some of the losses they've had. I know you've touched on that a little bit too. There's a Xander Bogaerts update. Kevin, fill the folks in on what the latest is with Xander Bogaerts.
Well, the very exciting starting baseball activity, you know, the side-to-side running, throwing, you know, he's got the imaging that showed 2 weeks out from the injury, showed enough healing that he can start to do that. We'll see. This is also one of those where it's like, all right, how did he feel the next day? And that's how it'll be for a while. And look, it's the time of year that it's not like there's going to be a rehab assignment. I mean, when he feels good, he'll come back.
Cool. Could he just DH? I mean, is there a thought to maybe bringing him along slowly, especially?
Doesn't really fix anything. Right. Doesn't really fix anything, right? Like yeah, the problem here is the DH is extremely crowded. There would be on a different team and in May. That would absolutely be certainly something that you could think about. Plays a very demanding position, but you know, he's got to come back and play shortstop.
Yeah, no, you're right. Kevin, we saw yesterday the Jake Cronenworth at shortstop experiment again. This happened with a fly ball pitcher playing at home. The idea being that maybe you weren't going to stress your infield defense all that much with Nick Pivetta. Strikes out so many guys, gives up so many fly balls. I know Mike Schilt keeps pushing back on this, but is this something that we may see more of, especially if they're struggling to hit?
Yes. Absolutely. Right. Like that just makes sense. I mean, Mike's become very hard to predict. And then you throw in the Iglesias injury and it makes it even more difficult, which, you know, I think that's fairly minor and Iglesias will be back, I think. But like, you know, he's made some very interesting decisions as he's tried to get things going and get, you know, look, he's got an abundance of players. He's got to fit into that lineup. But yeah, now, again, I just need to, in case there's someone who's just listening and doesn't know how much I value Jake Cronenworth as a member of a baseball team. Big Jake Cronenworth guy. The shortstop defense it's just okay. And again, this team has 79 victories. This team is headed to the playoffs where these things are premium, the margins. You're playing, I don't want to say playing with fire. He's entirely serviceable. He's serviceable plus at shortstop. But, you know, the quicker you can, the less you can put him at shortstop, the better for the Padres.
Sure. But
the guy's been on base at least twice in 10 of the past 16 games. I believe his on-base percentage is up at .360 for the season right now. So, yes, getting making sure Jake Cronenworth can be in that lineup, but that's never an issue. Who is it you're trying to get in there with him? Luis Arraez, who's batting like .220 since August? So we want all these fixes, but what are those fixes? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, I got into an irritable posture right away with the whole bullpen thing, which you told me we were going to talk about. So that's on me, Ryan. And it's not about you. It's me, the guy who fields the emails constantly about all the things that could fix the Padres. Manny Machado.
Yep.
Guys yep. who are playing better. That's it. Like, I don't mean to put it on Manny, but I have watched Manny Machado change this organization, carry this team to the playoffs 2.5 times. Like, he is so important. That's why we talk about him. And then when we talk about guys, you know, like what could fix them is Luis Arraez having a better year, Manny Machado having a better year, Jackson Merrill being healthy and having a better year. That's what could fix the Padres.
Yep. The thing that jumps out at me with Arraez, and Arraez could be a separate podcast, not a separate episode, but a separate whole podcast just about Luis Arraez. He is striking out in big situations now. To me, these strikeout numbers to me are very surprising. Not only that he is striking out, but the circumstances in which he is striking out. And at some point, if you're a guy who gets on base and if you're a guy with great bat to ball skills and little else, what value do you bring if you're not doing that one thing well? You know, it'd be like if Mason Miller could no longer throw 104, right? What are we doing? That to me is a cause for concern. Now, Luis Arraez is in a walk year. Luis Arraez will probably be some other team's concern as of this time next year. But man, this is another good player who they really need to play better if they hope to make any noise in October.
It's a really interesting topic. I have made a mental note to myself after his, second strikeout in 2 games, 4th strikeout in 9 games, which for Luis Arraez, by the way, is like striking out 12 times in 3 games. That rate, that's just, you know, I do have a question as to whether is that coincidence, right? Because he has struck out a little bit more this year. Or is that Luis Arraez trying to make changes here in September because that same old thing that he said he was going to keep doing because it would work out has not worked out. But I just don't know that 4 strikeouts in 9 games is enough time for me to really dig deep into that. Now, he strikes out again today, and I promise you, we are going to find out what the heck is going on with this rash of strikeouts. Right. But yes, you're right. Like, he and Manny is the 2 and 3 hitters, which is another reason that I harp on those guys, is because they're the guys that are supposed to be doing it. But Luis Arraez, first off, has not come through in those anyway. Like, but striking out in those makes us go, whoa, what, you know, absolutely. Like, it's just further illustration of how much he's struggling this year.
Yep, absolutely. Kevin, I put you on the spot. I don't want to talk about Rockies Padres pitching matchups. I just don't. I mean, we can go over this really quick.
Who's pitching tonight? Yeah, like they're gonna get Herman Marquez. What some other guy? Hey, come on, you're right, Ryan. Like, come on. What does Randy Vasquez do? What does Dylan Cease do? What does Yu Darvish do? What does Michael King do on Sunday? What do the Padres do to this team that is no longer on pace for historically bad, but is the worst team in the majors, a team that you're 7-2 against, you swept, you shut them out. Now, that was a long time ago. All 3 times you played them here, you've 4-6 against them in Colorado. It does not matter who the Rockies are pitching or anything over the next 4 days. Am I correct?
Yes, I agree with you, Kevin. I used to cover a baseball coach, college baseball coach, who had a schedule calendar made every year, and instead of the opponent, it was just the game. The opponent every night is the game. It's not who you're playing.
I love it.
So it's just the game. 58 times or whatever it was on a college calendar. I feel like that's where we're at with these guys. Where if the Padres play well, there's almost nobody they can't beat. Right. When they play poorly, that really bad things happen. When you lose to a Reds team that, yes, is fighting for its life, but I don't think is in the same class as the Padres talent wise. When you struggle against a Rockies team, you get blanked at Coors Field. This is so much more about the Padres playing better than it is who the Padres are playing here in the final couple of weeks of the season.
I want to point out something because I think you are correct about like all of that, and including the Reds. I will say this. The Padres' strength handled the Reds' weakness. The Padres' pitching handled the Reds' offense for the most part. For what was it? they scored, the Reds scored two runs, four runs, and two runs. Like, I mean, okay. Right. The Padres' weakness did not do well against the Reds' strength, and the Reds' strength is starting pitching and then a decent bullpen. So, I mean, that starting pitching, that team gets into the playoffs. There could, they could, I don't think they're good enough on the margins. I don't think they have pop. But that starting pitching for the Reds is really, really good. And, you know, I don't know that the Padres are ever going to hit Andrew Abbott very well.
No, no, you're 100% right. All right, Kevin, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you want the silly one or the serious one?
I mean, you know, whatever. We got time for everything, Ryan. What do you got? I'm afraid of both every week. So, no, go ahead.
Silly one here, Kevin. We're nearing the end of the regular season. There's been a bobblehead giveaway for most of these weeknight home games. Do you have a favorite of the ones that they've given away so far this year?
So they all blend together this year. Was there a Tatis one that was pretty good this year? I'm a fan of like the ones like last night was just Dylan Cease pitching. I'm a big fan of those, right? I don't need Michael King with a cape on it, right? Like I just don't. So I'm a big bobblehead guy. I like to look at them. I think they're really neat. And then sometimes, you know, their heads and their move and stuff. I would like more. I hope we get a Freddie Fermin one coming up. I have a Gabriel Moreno one from Diamondbacks because my whole collection is all giveaways when I'm at the game. Okay, like as a it has the mask, it comes off.
Ooh,
freaking awesome! Like my favorite bobblehead. Mike Socha's last season, the Angels. It's Mike Socha on the railing of the dugout with a lineup card. And it's the best player at each position on the lineup card that he's ever managed for the Angels. I like ones like that. I can't think of one like that this year. My favorite was Ha-Sung Kim with a helmet that flew off because that's what his did. Now, I don't have that one because Boyce Garrison, old desk guy, asked for one. And I had not, you know, I gave him mine. So I don't have that one. That was probably my favorite one, maybe of all time that the Padres have given away. I like a little something, not a cape, not Star Wars. You know what I mean? Joe Musgrove with his dog was nice. You know, cause that's a thing. Joe and his dog with the tank top on and the cup of coffee. That's nice. I like those. I can't remember. Dylan Cease was, just Dylan Cease. You remember another one? Did you take the kids for any of them?
So there's one, I believe, still coming up. Luis Arraez, the sprinkler, where he's hitting off a thing of water. And then the thing of water is actually a tee. So you could actually hit the ball, which I kind of
like. I think that's neat. I'm sad because I don't like it when the bobblehead, like when it's the pitcher's bobblehead night and he gets shelled when he pitches on his bobblehead night. Or like now we've got one that's celebrating Luis Arraez's propensity to spray hits all over the ballpark. And well, he's not. That makes me sad.
Yes. There's one. One of my kids has it. Gosh, Kevin. It is a Will Myers Star Wars night one from years and years ago.
Yeah.
And just the idea of Will Myers dressed up like one of these Star Wars idiots for a bobblehead makes me smile.
You know, he's a big Star Wars guy. Jeff Sanders. Big Star Wars guy. Like, it's hard to get him to concentrate on the game when it's Star Wars night or when it's May 4th. Like, I mean, he just goes around, May the 4th be with you. I mean, it's crazy. Just loves Star Wars. Constantly talking Star Wars.
Yeah, the Chewbacca costume that he wears in the press box on May 4th is that's a little much. But, you know, it's
asking you to talk to him about that. But, yeah.
Padres Rockies four game series Petco Park starting tonight. Again, I don't think there's a whole lot more to say outside of you got to continue to beat bad teams. And if the Padres can do that, they'll be fine. They're probably going to be fine anyway.
But, I'm the last guy to do this, right? And I want to know your opinion. But we've reached the point where it's okay to do, and we reached the point where the Padres, who are three games up on the Mets, Padres have the fifth of six playoff spots. Mets hold the sixth. They're three games up on the Mets. They're five, for all intents and purposes, six up on the Giants and five, for all intents and purposes, four up on the Reds. I think I'm saying that correctly. Because, see, the Reds hold the tiebreaker against the Padres. So at this point, I'm okay saying you take three or four from the Rockies. It's not or else, but it's you take three or four from the Rockies going into the final 2 weeks of the season. I think you're in good shape.
Yep. I think Manny Machado will probably get a couple days off if they next week or the week after, if the Padres can take three or four from the Rockies. And again, it's looking more and more, Kevin, like it doesn't really matter whether they win the West or get the wild card, because neither of those teams are getting a first round bye.
Unless you think that you've got some great matchup, right? Like you think, all right, the number three seed. And by the way, I mean, they're essentially four games behind the Dodgers. So, right. I mean, if we're saying the Padres with a five game lead are essentially locks for the playoffs, then I think we're saying that the Dodgers are essentially locks to win the West. But this thing's been so messed up. Look, the Padres and Dodgers each have one non-Rockies victory in the month of September.
Whoa.
The Dodgers beat the Orioles and swept the Rockies. The Padres beat the Reds and won 2-3 against the Rockies. Everything else is L's for both of those teams. We have no freaking idea what's happening. One thing I will say, the Dodgers pitching sure seems, starting pitching at least, sure seems to be rounding into shape. That's a little scary. But yes, you're right, Ryan. Unless you think, hey, we get that number three seed and we get the Giants, we like our matchup against the Giants, or we like our matchup against the Mets. But you know what? That's way more of a outside thing than a what the team is actually, or even the analytics people or the scouts or the general manager or the manager, because the players don't really, you know, whatever. They got to execute against anybody. But the teams don't, whoever they play, they would like to be home and they would like a bye. That's about it. After that, they're with you, Ryan. Doesn't really matter at this point.
Right. Just playing the team that's in front of you. Yep, four-game series at Petco Park, Padres, Rockies. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.